Bristol there, and caught me off the hoof there, because I've actually been handed a sandwich. I've got water, I've got tea everywhere, and in a right mess. But enjoyed listening to the Bristol ringing there. There we are. That's my sandwich just gone down. And the Cumberlands have just gone into the Tower. Lots of mixed emotions there. You could tell they were quite nervous going into the Tower, but also just keen to get up there. And if you remember, I spoke to some of the Cumberlands last night. In fact, let's listen to how the Cumberlands were in the pub last night. I've just come to sit down with the Cumberlands team, and I'm joined by Heather. Heather, how are you feeling?
Fine, actually. Had a couple of pints in me, so yeah, no stress at all.
And is it important to be completely relaxed the night before, or do you do any preparation? What happens?
Not too relaxed. But yeah, I think it's important not to stress out too much. Obviously, they'll be nervous on the day, but there's no point getting worked up the night before.
So are all the team here now? Are they already in Ripon?
I haven't seen everyone yet. I've seen about 6 or 7 of us, so that bodes well. But I don't know how everyone's getting here, so...
And have you brought any supporters with you?
Yay!
No, there's a supporter over here. I'm not going to talk to your supporter.
I didn't bring him.
Did he just turn up?
I just rocked up and here he was.
Just here. Well, listen, have a peaceful night, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow and hearing you ring.
Thank you.
I'm going to come over and talk to the gentleman over here, who's self-proclaimed as a supporter. Who are you, sir?
Sorry, I'm David Cloak. I look after the bells at Campbell. And I'm a Cumberland as well.
Oh, right. Are you actually ringing tomorrow?
No, I'm not ringing. I'm supporting the Cumberlands, though. Hopefully they'll put in a good performance. Long overdue, I must admit. And people like Heather are going to pull us through. I'm absolutely confident of that.
Have you been around for any of the practices at all?
No, I haven't. But I've come up here with Steve Bailey, who's one of the ringers as well, tomorrow in the team. And I think there's quite a bit of confidence there. They're a really good team. I've rung the Cumberlands for a number of years. And I think this year... could be their year. There's a lot of strong competition. I mean, Birmingham are obviously going to be hot favourites. York, being in the vicinity, is going to be they're going to be very, very strong, very good ringers. But I think the Cumberlands have got a really good chance.
I mean, you've mentioned Birmingham. Does that get talked about a lot amongst the team?
Definitely. I think it gets talked about whenever the 12 bell occurs. The team from Birmingham are top quality ringers, really are very, very good. They've won it year on year, they've got good pedigree, great team spirit. I think Birmingham, and I think York can be the teams to beat, I think, tomorrow, most definitely.
So they're your favourites? Not necessarily favourites.
You see, now you're asking, aren't you, what would be David Cloak's top three? Well, I have to say that I think Birmingham and York are going to be vying for the top two. In terms of the third place, I really do think that the Cumberlands have got a great chance, but it's a bit like a cup final on the day. It is a cup competition, and at the end of the day, it's going to be the performance on the day and how the judges view that. But I certainly am vouching for my team. I think that they're going to do very, very well. A lot of confidence in them. I think, you know, it's going to be regardless, I think what the beer tent as well. It's going to be a great day as well.
Sadly, I won't be in the beer tent. Yes. I'm going to be in the back of the cathedral.
You're going to be in the back of the cathedral with your headphones on, trying to entice blokes like me who don't talk so much to try and get interviews and things like that. Important thing is that we're all here. We're all celebrating really great 12-bell ringing. And it's just going to be a fantastic day with some really great ringing, some good company, obviously some very, very good beer and a lot of drunk ringers, which is part of the course. But importantly, I think Ripon are going to put a really great show, great Taylor 12, and really looking forward to it.
Have you been up yet? It's a great location.
I personally haven't been up yet myself. I must admit, I've never grabbed a tower here, so I'm hoping Sunday morning, if anybody's listening at the moment, Sunday morning you let the fat bloke have a few rings. But yeah, I mean, wonderful location though. I mean, really superb location. I mean, Friday night, sun shining, absolutely superb. And a lot of ringers around, and it's good to see some familiar faces, some old faces, some new faces as well. But it's going to be a really great day for the 12 bell tomorrow.
That was me talking to the Cumberlands, some of the Cumberlands last night in the pub, and their solitary, single supporter. Talking of Cumberlands, here's a nice link. We've got one of the Bristol ringers with us now. Glint, as he's known to many ringers, Ian Fielding. Welcome.
Hello, Matthew.
Come a bit closer to the microphone. We want to hear you, and we know you're very shy. How was it for you up there?
Well, it's hard work. Half an hour goes by pretty quickly, but yeah, we got through without anything too major going wrong. Rang reasonably nicely. A few bits and pieces that weren't quite there, but quite happy with how we rang.
Now, you're one of the teams that hadn't come here to practice beforehand, whereas a lot of the other teams had a practice on the bells. I mean, did you feel that put you at a minor disadvantage at all?
Not really. I mean, we'll find out when the results are called. I mean, obviously, if you come here, you get an idea of what the bells are. But to be honest, you know, I'd expect our band and any other band to be able to come into a ring of 12 like this and be able to nail them with about 10 minutes. I mean, driving 200 miles for 45 minutes of ringing is bordering on the extreme, I think. So, yeah, it would have been useful if it had been on our doorstep. We'd have probably taken advantage, but I don't think it did us too much harm.
That's interesting. And interesting to hear an enthusiastic ringer, keen ringer, saying it's, you know, driving at a long distance for 45 minutes is a bit too much. Can you tell us a little bit? I haven't actually rung here. Can you tell us a little bit about the character of the bells? Are there any oddities up there?
They're very nice. I mean, they go well. They sound nice. I mean, they should. Rehung 12, cast by Taylor's, good vintage. Little bit of odd struckness. Quite hard to get them going and generating a rhythm. But they're nice to ring. There's no real sort of bad tricks up there.
Now, I've been asking quite a few people what their thoughts are in terms of the competition. Who do you see as the main rivals to Bristol?
Well, everyone, to be honest. I think the competition has got to such a stage now where you really need to be producing a really, really top-class bit of ringing to win, and you can ring really well and come last. I mean, I don't think the marks and spreader marks necessarily reflect how close it actually is. You've always got a fancy Birmingham. I mean, you know, 12 really, really good ringers who practice to an extremely, well, some might say a bit too extreme level. I mean, certainly that's not for me, and that's not why I go ringing. But, you know, me, Birmingham have been at the top now for the last 15 years, which sort of says it all, really.
There's a lot of talk, people I've been talking to this morning have been talking about the kind of some of the side effects, if you like, and the positive side effects of having a competition like this, in that there seems to be a general rise in the standard of 12-bell ringing. Is that something that you've experienced?
I think the standard of ringing in the competition has gone up. And, you know, I mean, it has encouraged people to ring on 12. I think it's getting to the point now where, I wouldn't say teams are necessarily put off, but it's becoming a bit of a one-horse race on a sort of easygoing 12. It seems to be Birmingham. You know, if you put your 20 quid on Birmingham every year, you're going to come out with a sort of a small amount of money to the good. I think maybe there's some scope for making the competition a bit more random, just to sort of keep the interest up there. At the moment, it seems that you just go and ring, you know, the same bit of 12 bell ringing ad nauseum for 3 months, have half an hour on the day, and then it's something else that comes along. So maybe, I don't know, ringing a whole course and having leads judged, which no one actually knows are being judged until the results, except the judges or something like that, might
some bit of randomization there.
Yeah,
yes.
Unlevel the playing field.
It's almost extreme 12 bell ringing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely pushed forward the standard of 12-bell ringing. I mean, no two ways about it. And I mean, all the ringing on final day is good now. I mean, you know, when I started ringing in the competition 20 years ago for the Cumberlands, I mean, it was sort of generally assumed that you just had to turn up to an eliminator and you rang, and unless something fairly spectacular went wrong, you'd go through, whereas now it's not the day. I mean, you know, even eliminators are hard fought, and four or five teams could quite legitimately go through.
So, looking back over the years, have you got any particular good memories that stand out, or any sort of spectacular mistakes that you've witnessed? I'm not necessarily talking about yourself in competitions.
I think, you know, from my perspective, winning in 1997 at St Martin in the Fields with the Cumberlands in our 250th year was, you know, for me, just, you know, it couldn't have gone any better, really. And, you know, at that stage, the Cumberlands were, you know, one of the teams to beat. I mean, the 1990s, we had a fantastic year. So winning at St Martin's was nice. Doing well last year with Bristol was equally nice. You know, it's nice to come in with a team with a bit of enthusiasm and actually, you know, deliver. I mean, hopefully we can do it again today. I wasn't there to witness it, but I think in 1984 at Canterbury, when the College Youths were allegedly on for a sort of a massive victory, and the test piece was miscalled and defeat was snatched from the jaws of victory. I mean, that must have been pretty hard for them to cope with. But, you know, it's just the nature of what happens in ringing. It doesn't always go right.
Indeed, and that is the excitement of a competition like this, and also the excitement of being able to broadcast this live. We really don't know how the day is going to unfold. Ian, Glint, thank you very much for coming to talk to us.
Thank you. I'm going to have a well-earned pint now, I think.
Absolutely. Go down to the beer. And they're all local beers as well, and local ciders. So they've really thought about keeping the carbon footprint down. We admire that.
You can get me one later, Matthew, if you want.
Nice try. I'm glued to the desk. I can't move. Ian Fielding there from the Bristol team, talking about the many competitions he's taken part in, and possibly making some suggestions as to how the competition can move forward in the next few years. One of the other people that we're going to talk to a little bit later is Martin Davis. He's kind of a head honcho here, has been running operations. Before we do that, though, we're just going to listen in, eavesdrop on the Cumberlands to hear how they're doing. So that's the Cumberlands practicing. They're on now. The next team after that will be Birmingham, then it Melbourne, Cambridge, Leeds, and the College U's. Now, I'm really pleased to be joined by Martin Davis. Martin, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Matthew. Hi there.
Now, you're involved in the operations here, aren't you? Tell us what I mean. What is actually your role here?
My role today is as the chairman of the organising committee, and my role here more on a day-to-day basis is as ringing master and a steeplekeeper. So. Today it's my job, I think, to make sure that our team of ringers does what we're supposed to do and keeps the day moving, and all of our plans come to fruition, and nothing goes wrong and the wheels don't fall off. But so far, so good.
I mean, just wandering around, the organisation behind the scenes, the charts, the timetables, you've got the beer being delivered, you've sourced all that locally. It's really amazing.
Well, it's been a big job. We've been planning this for just over 12 months. We had our first meeting just before the final at Melbourne last year, basically because we wanted to go to Melbourne with a bit of a story, so if people asked us what a Ripon doing, we had some idea. But we've been meeting monthly. All our ringers have been involved. In terms of logistics today, we've got 20 of our own ringers working shifts, hours on, hours off, plus a few of our regular visitors helping us as well. In addition to that, we've had 55 ringers from all over the country. We've got some from Stockton, my other team that I ring for, ringers from Yorkshire, Oxfordshire. A whole team of 55 who are just doing hour and a half shifts, either on catering or on the bar. And it's great they're involved. They've all volunteered to help. They've all been reliable and turned up. And the rotors are working, thank goodness. But it's fantastic.
And I have to offer a personal thanks to the catering team, because I have been supplied with sandwiches and cake, for which I am most grateful.
And all home-baked, Matthew.
All home-baked, absolutely. home-baked. Very, very good stuff. Now, you've also been you've been doing a bit of technical work, haven't you, behind the scenes? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, my role, apart from trying to chair the organisation, is a website and the audio feed you're listening to, actually. So
so all this is partly down to me.
We have a very talented local ringer called Charlie Brown, who runs a company called Acoustic Solutions, and he's provided the mics, the mixing, and basically all the audio work which is happening on site in the tower. And my role is to take that onto our website and stream it out. So right now this is streaming via our own website, ripon12bell.org.uk. It's also going out via the normal 12bell site, 12bell.org.uk, and also on a Ustream channel directly as well. So last count, there's 350 people listening to this, which is absolutely amazing. Can't believe it.
Wow, and I'm just looking now, though. Actually, we've just had another tweet coming in. Phil Tremaine's just tweeted with the hashtag 12bell, saying that he's listening to it, the final, commentating, listening to all the comments and the interviews, and saying how much he's enjoying it. Phil Armstrong's also been in touch, talking about... There's a bit of a debate going on out there about adverts.
Right, okay.
Some people have got adverts, some people haven't. I think it depends on what device you're
listening. I think the way it works is if you have been onto Ustream very recently and you have heard an advert, you don't get another advert for a certain amount of time.
So you've got your advert quota sort of used up,
yeah,
sort of thing.
We don't control what adverts go out. It's just what Ustream choose to put out over the top of it. So yeah. If you're losing it because of adverts, I'm really sorry. I haven't got a button I can press to turn them off.
We don't have the budget to get rid of the adverts. No, that's the thing.
We're on free
Ustream.
If you
don't want adverts in future, send us your money. That's
exactly
what we're saying,
yes,
basically.
Too right. Subscription-based.
Well, I am very aware that it's gone quiet at the tower and we could be hearing the trebles at any moment now. So we may have to close down this interview. In fact, there we go. Right on cue. Isn't that clever?
So,
Martin, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We're going to go up the tower now and listen to the next team, which are the Cumberlands.
This should be good.
the Cumberlands there being team four today. The next team up will be Birmingham, followed by Melbourne, Cambridge, Leeds, and finally, but by no means leastly, the College Youths. Now, I did have a chance to talk to several people in the pub last night, including some more of the Cumberlands, and this is what Shirley McGill had to say. Actually, it would help if I plugged my computer in. First technical error of the day. There we go. So just bear with me. I shall just plug this wire in. There we go. We'll try again. This is Shirley McGill talking to me last night ahead of the competition. Shirley, I'm with you now in the pub. How are you feeling?
Completely chilled.
Jolly good. How many competitions have you been involved in?
Oh, my gosh. Probably about 11, 12, maybe more. But not always with the Cumberlands.
All right, who else have you rung for?
I've rung for St Martin in the Fields and Croydon. But Croydon never made it to the finals. So,
over the years that you've been involved, have you noticed any changes in the competition?
It's more serious now. More at stake for the winners, I think. A bit less chilling from some teams, but by and large most people come out for a good day out and it's all good fun. The Cumberlands have a reasonable team, but we're not all superstars by any means, so we try to give people a chance and a go. And hopefully we'll do well.
And you have a lot of fun at the same time.
We do, yeah. It's all good fun. I think.
As you can tell, we're in the pub at the moment. Our table is being cleared. Quite a lot of glasses are being cleared from the Cumberland's table. So I don't know whether that's a sort of team
and it's
tactic.
Not all orange juice.
Medicinal?
No. We have a reputation for drinking orange juice, which is totally unfounded.
You heard it here first, folks. Shirley, thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
There we go, Shirley McGill, dispelling some of the myths surrounding the Cumberlands team. Now, hard at work behind the scenes of any competition like this are the local ringers, but also there is the 12 Bell Committee who put a lot of work into preparing all of the heats and the actual final. It's a lot of coordination work that has to go on. And one person who is at the centre of all this is George Unsworth. And yet again, I spoke to George in the pub last night. It was a lovely setting next to the river in the heart of Ripon. I'm in the best location, a really, really important location for any ringing event, the pub, the night before.
Yes.
And I'm actually with one of a key person linked to the competition, George Unsworth. For the benefit of the listeners, could you tell us what your role is?
My role is to be the secretary of the 12 Bell Striking Contest.
And what does that entail?
It means, really, after nearly 40 years of the putting on the contest, it's trying to make sure that whatever happens, happens in a way that makes it sure that everybody has a good time. But it's doing the organising, it's following up on what the committee wants, any changes that they want to happen, liaising with all of the local venues to make sure that they know what it is that's expected of them, and then just being around on the day to make sure that things can be little tweaks happen here, there and everywhere, but basically then it's sitting back and waiting for it all to happen.
I guess with any organising job, if you do your organising properly, then actually on the day it's relatively straightforward, dare I say that?
Yeah, you can try. It usually is, until it snows at the Eliminator, then yes.
Oh crikey, you did, yes. I mean, did that cause major
oh, upheaval? just a bit. Let's just say that the emails were red hot the previous day because, I mean, as you can imagine, quite a few people were very concerned about it. There were 21 teams just about to embark on very long journeys for some of them with some extremely bad conditions in front of them, and there were certainly several people who felt that we really should have cancelled it. But in the end we did a sort of a straw poll round, and the general feeling was, well, we should make sure that the rules were bent if necessary in order to be allow it to carry on within the same spirit. But and I'm glad we did, but it was touch and go. It was very, very close.
Did it actually put any teams off, everybody manage to compete?
One person, one ringer, managed not to be able to dig themselves out of a snowdrift up in there. I'm not saying who it was either, but no, I mean, literally every single person got there in the end. And a lot of teams actually said to me, sent an email early in the morning saying, really sorry, we're going to try to get there, but we just may not make it, we just don't know. But I'm used to that because my business is putting on events, at, you know, for musical events of orchestras. And basically the show goes on unless there really is a good reason why not. That was a good reason. There would have been every justification for cancelling it, but in the end I'm glad we didn't.
Brilliant. Who are the easiest to work with, ringers or musicians?
That's an unfair question. That's an unfair question. It depends on how far down the pint of beer I am. And, you know, musicians don't come in one particular category. It depends on whether you happen to be a woodwind player. Oh, oops, woodwind player or a brass player.
There you are, you've done the damage now. It's all dropped into it. Now, yeah, you mentioned it's the competition is organised by committee. How much input do they have? How much drive do they have, the organisation-wise?
I think the committee really is there more or less these days as a sounding board, really, because the one thing you do want is the contest to be able to develop and to move on. I mean, the Strikeometer is an obvious example. And when there's something like that that's coming along, you need some good, wise heads of people where I can go, look, we think this is a good idea, X, Y, and Z, what do you think? And actually, that's how they tend to work. It's more, this is a good idea, yes, no, and then they come back with an answer one way or the other. So it's
and the people on the committee, there's one person from each team, is that correct?
It's not one person from each team, it's one person from the top four teams in each eliminator from the previous year. So it's a good selection, it's a good cross-section. And we're very lucky at the moment, actually, because we've got a really good, very sensible, good crew of people who are extremely helpful, and I'm thoroughly enjoying working with them.
That's really good to hear. Now, how do people get in? If people want to enter a team, what do they have to do?
Really, the best thing to do is to look at the 12L website, actually, because there are some frequently asked questions there which are designed specifically for for teams who might be interested, or indeed people who might be interested in hosting an eliminator or anything like that. And that will give them some basic information of the sorts of things that are being looked for, the sorts of standards. But we had a new team in Newcastle under Lyme came in this year for the first time, which was great. It was really nice to see. Because they were quite clear, they were keen and enthusiastic. They knew that they weren't going to be of the standard where they would probably qualify, but they wanted to be able to focus on something to be able to improve their ringing themselves, and then just use it, the competition actually, as something which would then push them further on. And they did a great job. We're really pleased with them. Really good. And they're going to enter again next year, which is even better.
George Unsworth talking to me last night about all the work that goes on behind the scenes as secretary of the 12L competition. Now, we are getting lots of people tweeting us. Don't forget, the hashtag for today's event is #12bell. That's the number 12. Great Barton Bells have been in touch saying we're enjoying Matthew Tosh's commentary from the 12L. Thank you very much. They're listening in Suffolk. We've got people listening in Bristol. David Threlfall has been in touch saying he's enjoying it. It's all coming loud and clear. And I've been promised a drink. Jen Harvey has said, keep up the good work at the 12L final. I'll come and find you in Oxford next year and buy you a pint to say thanks. There we are. I've announced that on air, so we have witnesses. I've got a free drink already. Everything's going well. David Ford has also been in touch on Twitter. Very impressed by the presentation and the online presentation. Inconsistent handstroke leading problem for the first two teams. And that's the thing about strike competitions. You get all the people judging. Now, we're going to get some viewpoints from actual ringers. I've been joined in the tower, in my basement of the tower rather, by two ringers from the Cumberland's team. Gentlemen, Lee Pennington and Adam Greenley. You'll need to get quite close to the microphone so that we can get your give. Hello. What a lovely hello there. Go on, may I ask, how was it for you up there?
It was very nerve-wracking. It was very hot and sticky up there.
There's no air in the ringing chamber now at all. As people get, as more teams go up there, it's getting hotter and hotter. There's no opening windows. There's no fans up there.
Oh, really?
So it's getting hotter and sweatier. and generally more unpleasant. So I'm sure it'll probably start to smell of beer later on in the day as well.
Ooh. I thought most of it was Adam, but I'm told it was actually like that before we got up.
Is there a risk then that the like the last couple of teams up there will run out of oxygen? Or
I suspect they'll be too drunk to notice, Matthew.
Oh, fair point. Looking down the list, actually, I just remind ourselves who those last two teams are. We've got Leeds at 3 o'clock and the College U's at 3:30. So on a more serious note, I mean, how do you think you did up there? Were you pleased with your performance?
It was very nerve-wracking, but I think we were quite pleased.
We were a bit disappointed with the last two leads, especially the last lead. I think the nerves kicked in that we were nearly the end of the test piece and we couldn't let it go, and unfortunately we did a little bit, so it wasn't as good as we could have achieved, but that's the thing, it's one piece of ringing that's being judged.
Is there a risk then that you're in that home straight in that last lead? I mean, how do you keep that concentration going?
I don't, you just have to put your head down and get on with it. Just have to put your head down and keep going,
yeah.
And try not to think about it and try and imagine you're ringing a Cumberland practice on a Wednesday night and it isn't. You know, I'd have thought halfway through, oh my goodness, this is the National 12 Bell final. You know, my stomach sort of turned over and I thought, you know, don't think about that. Just keep your head down.
Is it like that thing when they say, you know, you're ringing a peal and you wake up?
Yes.
Don't wake up.
And Lee had the advantage that he didn't have a blue line to remember apart from treble bob hunting.
No, whereas I can do that.
Yeah, whereas when you're actually ringing the method inside, not only have you got to think about putting your bell in the right place, you suddenly think, which set of places are next?
Now, I've not been actually making any announcements as to where people are ringing. You've just outed yourself on air, Lee, there. You're ringing the treble.
Oh, dear. It wouldn't be the first time.
So, we've heard about your thoughts of the ringing. I mean, who do you think the favourites are today?
Well, the obvious one's Birmingham.
Yeah.
Far and away.
They're up there next. Shall we just have a little listen to see how they're getting on?
Yes,
have a little listen. Eavesdrop on Birmingham. They're up there practising at the moment. We'll just have a little listen. So there we are, that's just listening to Birmingham practicing. They are hot favourites, a lot of chit-chat about Birmingham, mostly positive, I have to say. And who do you think their main contenders are here?
It could be anyone. Could be anyone today. You know, there's some, inside there's some sort of slightly odd sounds depending on where you are in the circle, so you really can't tell.
Is that the Birmingham ring is the odd sounds? Or
they're just odd.
Oh,
No, the bells.
The bells, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
The acoustics inside, they sort of come and go a little bit, depending on where you are in the circle. So it's very difficult to tell what you're actually producing, what it sounds like outside. The sound outside and what you hear outside is very different to inside. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, half the teams have come for practice, half of them haven't. The ones that did come only had a 45-minute practice rather than a normal hour and a half. It's all been, you know, it'd be interesting to see if that makes any sort of difference to the results and whether some of the favourite teams who didn't come and practice actually aren't as highly placed as the ones who have come for practice and aren't as highly favoured.
I mean, having done that, even though it was a 45-minute snapshot...
We didn't come.
The Cumberlands were one of that. There we go.
We're a virgin, straight into it.
Straight into that. So that really does put the pressure on, doesn't it? So that, I mean, how mentally, how do you prepare for going into a competition like this? What do you do the night before? I mean, do you
drink,
smoke?
I mean, so that's
pretty much eat.
Yeah. And get a good night's sleep, I imagine.
Well, 4 hour drive up. Several bottles of wine and a pizza, and then you crash out and then find that your hotel isn't doing breakfast early enough and have to have a bit of toast before you head out the door to get the bus.
It's at this point I make the official announcement that the National 12 Bell Striking Contest does in no way condone smoking or drinking in any way.
Except for the 1,500 pints of beer they've brought in.
They've got loads down there, haven't they? Yeah. And I've said, how on earth, when you're arranging a competition like this, how do you judge how much people are going to drink?
A gallon a ringer.
Is that the benchmark?
I would guess so for a day.
I'm very disappointed there are no cocktails.
Dear me. They've got cider, haven't they? They've got beer. And I'm provided with a cup of tea, but then I am in a church and I've got to keep this desk nice and dry.
There was one other change we noticed in the ringing chamber. They've actually changed the format of the official clock.
The official clock?
The official clock.
It's digital.
It's now digital.
Well, that's
it was an analog clock last year, and we can't condone
this,
change.
This is all happening. So we have gone digital. We're digital recording. We've got digital broadcasting. We've now completed the picture with a digital clock in the chamber.
To be honest, Matthew, you know the change that's going on now, and the confusion on Facebook about elitism in ringing. I think the 12 bell should just be stopped.
Ooh.
That's very controversial.
Controversial. That will promote some reaction on Twitter, hopefully. And if you do have any views on that, then do let us know. Don't forget, the hashtag for the competition today is hashtag 12. Well, that's the number 12. And it would be great to know where people are listening. We've had people already sort of confirm that they're listening from Cornwall and also in places far-flung places like Suffolk. So, Adam and Lee, where are you heading now?
The beer tent, I think.
Definitely the beer tent.
It's a lovely place down there.
And there's a rather nice looking hog down there as well.
I thought there were two. I had a sneaky peek. I had a sneaky peek in the hog roast. And,
I'm looking forward to a nice bit of pork.
Yeah. On that note, I think well, thank you, but thank you very much for coming in.
Ta-ra.
And we'll see you later. Do pop back and give us maybe a beer review or something like that.
Well, we'll see what we can do, Matthew. Certainly.
Lee Pinson, Adam Green. Thank you very much. Okay, now, as we've said, we've got the Birmingham team up the tower at the moment. Just looking down the programme, give you a little bit of background on Birmingham. It says here, last year at Melbourne, the Birmingham band increased its overall contest win rate to 50%. The aim for this year is to achieve a unique 4 consecutive wins, which has never been done before. Intending to field an unchanged team for the 5th year in a row, success at Ripon would also bring their 20th contest victory. Pleased with how they rank in their eliminator, the band is full of confidence and hopes to turn it on again when it really matters. And actually, that picks up quite nicely from what Lee and Adam were saying there, that level of concentration that you have to have, and you have to maintain that concentration when you're doing your test piece of ringing. There's no point relaxing, you know, in that home straight. You can't switch off. You really have to concentrate all the way through. Now, in between the bands later this afternoon, we're going to be catching up with at least one member of the clergy, and we'll be getting some feedback from what's going down in the beer tent and in the garden down there. And I'm just going to play you an interview with someone I spoke to this morning. This is Ailsa, who's the judge's runner, a very important job, and this is what she had to say. Right, I've come into the breakfast hall, and actually I'm going to cut that straight away, because just as I started, the Birmingham band have finished their practice piece, and I did promise you that I would broadcast all the ringing uninterrupted, so any moment now we'll be hearing the treble announcement from the Birmingham band. And remember, there is a lot of talk about Birmingham as being one of the hot favourites for today's competition, so we'll see if they can pull it out of the hat for their performance today. And just before we do go to that, I have been told exclusively we have smashed through the 600 people following us on the live broadcast today. So great that we've got so many people listening online. That is really is a record for the National 12 Well Final. If you are wondering who I am, my name is Matthew Tosh. I'm broadcasting all day today, the National 12 Well Final, live from Ripon Cathedral. It's been a bit mixed weather outside, and it is drying up now, and that means the ringers are outside enjoying the ringing. And this, if the rumours are anything to go by, should be a very good piece of ringing. This is Birmingham.